So our next honored guest is a man that I have seen personally in the theater world many different times and places and have enjoyed him. And I know he's been helping with many of the different projects. And he's been climbing the stages here in Viroqua many times over the last couple of years, telling other people's stories. And tonight, let's welcome Evan Blattner to tell one of his. Come on up here, Evan.
My dad died 30 years and 12 days ago when I was 26. He spent the last year of his life in a nursing home at age 56. There had been something sneaking up behind his diabetes and taking over. He had some mysterious set of symptoms that were both physical and mental. I felt really guilty and just terrible abandoning him there in a nursing home. But, you know, I found that the more time I spent with him, the more powerless and hopeless I felt. And as much as we loved each other, it seemed like we were just recognizing each other less and less. So he was in the nursing home getting some pretty poor care, but better care than I could have given him. And I was in school until I got a call from my grandfather one day. And he told me that he called the institution and told them to pull the plug. That is the term he used. He did not consult me on his decision to do so, and I'm not sure that my grandmother was a part of that decision either. Just for context, my grandparents had a lot of life left in them. Ruth lived 6 years after my dad died, her son, and Byrne lived another 10 years beyond that. He died at 103. I don't know how much my dad was aware of his situation. I don't know if he was conscious at the time. I don't know how much he suffered, but at least it was over. And, but I wanted to know how he got there. So I asked for an autopsy, and Byrne was against it. But I told him, I'm like, well, what if whatever came after my father is going to come after me? So he acquiesced, and there was a problem. There were a couple problems. One was the funeral home had already started to embalm him. In their haste to comply with my request, they sent his body back to the hospital without a toe tag, the second problem. And I wish for all of you that none of you ever have a story about your parents and a toe tag. I'll spare you the gruesome details, but I did have to go to the hospital to identify his body before they could proceed with the autopsy. The autopsy was inconclusive. Maybe there was something that could have been gotten out of the report, but I didn't have the education or the guts to read any further than the cover letter from one doctor to another saying, I don't know. What do you make of this? My father had one sibling, my Uncle Jim, except that after my dad died, he told me that he wanted me to call him Jim, not Uncle Jim. And that's the only thing he's ever done that made me mad. I just lost my dad, and now he was taking my uncle away from me. I didn't want him to be Jim. I didn't want him to be like a friend or some, you know, generic relative, but that was his wish. So, Jim, he was a lovely person who did what he could to make people around him feel better. He was very generous with his time and energy and money. When he came to Ohio for the funeral, he told me about Outward Bound, a school that teaches outdoor skills to people over extended periods in the wilderness. He told me he wanted to gift me an Outward Bound trip. I didn't know what to think about that, but I didn't have any other idea what I was going to do. My degree in science and dance wasn't exactly leading me anywhere particular. And so I started reading the literature and shopping for the items on the list. Fleece, two layers of synthetic or wool socks. Mine were made out of supposedly recycled 2-liter bottles. Long underwear, sunglasses with a neck lanyard, etc. Boots seem to be the most important thing, high-quality boots. And I had a pair of boots. I didn't know if they were good enough. So I called Outward Bound, and they said, well, what are they? I said, they're Colorados. I'm like, what? I'm like, Colorados, you know? I'm like, everybody in my school had them. All the cool kids did, anyway. They were heavy leather and suede with Vibram soles and bright red laces. And a couple years after they came out, then the brown and tan striped laces were the cool thing to have. I traded and I got better laces, but they had not heard of them. I couldn't believe it, but I thought they were good enough. She says, well, what did you pay for them? I said, $50. She says, I don't know about $50 boots. I was satisfied with them. I'm like, I've got to go. I don't know. I don't know what I'm getting myself into. I have the things on the list. I don't know that I'm prepared. But at least I have some new fleece pants to try out. So after graduation, I fly out to San Francisco, and Jim picks me up at the airport. I spend a couple days with him and Gene and my cousin Sam. Pretty soon, Jim is driving me 3 hours south to the Fresno Air Terminal, where I meet the rest of the people in my group. There are 6 women, 5 of them younger than me, and 6 men, 5 of them older than me, and our 2 leaders, both named Rob. They did get nicknames so we could tell them apart later. We started learning right away about what to expect on our trip and group behavior rules, like no exclusive relationships. And one of the Robs approved my boots. So we loaded onto a Greyhound bus and started driving up into the mountains. And we got as far as the bus could go, and we got onto 2 smaller vans and went further up the hill, up the mountain. Went as far as we were supposed to go, and we got out, and we emptied our suitcases, all the contents of our suitcases, out onto tarps, and started to learn what to leave behind. And we learned how to pack our backpacks. Like, seriously, we learned how to pack them. We learned how to put them on, and we learned how to adjust them, and it was very detailed, and I really liked it. We played games to learn each other's names and the names of our rock climbing equipment. We learned how to read topographic maps. We learned how to walk on the trail. Do you use the roots of the trees to step on, or you have to step over them? Do you walk single file, or can you spread out? What about puddles? What about going uphill versus down? We learned how to make the water that we found drinkable. And I found out that the iodine in the water bottles made them smell like pizza. We had headlights, and let me tell you, that was cool. Before the mid-90s, if you were an American and you were not a coal miner, you needed to hold a flashlight with one hand and use another hand to operate a zipper or to cook or whatever. So this was game-changing. Soon we were hiking in Kings Canyon and Sequoia National Park and Sequoia National Forest. And we summited Bald Dome in the dark. with our handmade prusik cords. When we got to the top, the full moon rose, and we could see the top of the mountain, and we could see where we could find places to sleep for the night. We were encouraged to journal frequently, and I did it that night by the brightest moonlight I had ever been under. A couple days later, we all summited Mount Silliman at about 12,000 feet, and as traditions have it, I left a note for my dad in the metal summit box. Outward Bound started me on a daily habit of journaling. It lasted well over 10 years until my journal was violated once, and I all but quit after that. But that's a different story. Outward Bound did, they gave us all of our specialized gear, including gaiters. And that was another big hit with me. I wore them pretty much every day. I was the only one to wear them when we weren't walking in deep snow, but I was pretty excited about the idea of walking through the woods and not having to stop and pick little sticks and rocks out of my shoes and hold everybody else up. I remember the day when Rob told us, we're going to go out into deep snow today, so you might want to put your gaiters on. And Lori says to me, "This is going to be a good day for you." This cemented my feelings for Lori. We had connected a little bit from the beginning and got closer and closer as our 9 days went on. We were actually issued a warning by the exclusive relationship police. At the end of the trip, I got a ride back to San Francisco with Lori, where she lived, instead of flying back on the ticket that my Uncle Jim had bought me. And I also learned how mad I can make my Uncle Jim when he drives to the airport and I'm not there because I hitched a ride with some girl. I made some other relationships with people on that trip that lasted a couple years. I gained a financial advisor and some of their hiking buddies. But I didn't maintain relationships with any of them like I did with Lori. I still get her family Christmas card every year. This past Christmas Eve, in his own bed with family around, my Uncle Jim died at 89 years old. And I got the chance to thank him for the gift that he gave me of sending me on a trip to learn some new skills, make some new friends, learn some things about myself and what I can accomplish as long as I have the right boots and pants. Thank you.